I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. It's grapeshot and musket and the cannon lumber loud. There's many a mangled body, the blanket for their shroud. There's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home.
All right, thanks for joining us here today on Northwest Liberty News. It is the 8th day of August 2022, and this is formerly the Critical Disclosure Radio Show. However, Critical Disclosure Radio Show is moving over to Monday evenings. Tonight, it'll be live on Brighton TV at 5 o'clock Montana time, which would be 6 o'clock Central time and 7 o'clock Eastern time. And we're delighted to be on the Brighton TV network. We're looking forward to that. And this is, from this point on, we're going to be doing the show under the banner of the original, going back to old school, who wrote Northwest Liberty News. And this will be a 2-hour broadcast here each day, each weekday. The first hour, of course, will be simulcast on Brighton Radio. And the second hour will be on all other networks besides Brighton Radio. And currently we are working right now let me make sure that I got my volume on here. Right now we're currently working to get on some local AM and FM stations here, and also, believe it or not, a television network, the television HD programming here in Flathead Valley all the way down to Polson. We're actually just waiting to connect with a guy right now to get that all straightened up, set up and straightened out. So we're growing here. I think it's because of it's about the truth, folks. It's about the truth, and that's really what we try to bring to you here. Not a lot of fanfare, don't have a lot of bells and whistles. As a matter of fact, pretty much just me here running everything. A couple of boards here, four monitors, the guests, we're taking phone calls starting today. You might want to write this down, this guest call-in number. We're not taking calls right now. We will be here. Let me make sure that we're going through. Okay, we are live on, looks like we're live on all networks now. We'll be taking calls later on the second hour. And the guest call-in line forevermore here is going to be 563-999-3736. That's 563-999-3736. And it's right there on the screen for those of you that are on the viewing audience. And we'll be taking calls here a little bit later on. Okay, so we're going to have Nick Ramlo here the second hour with us. He is going to be coming in here in studio. I've got everything set up for him next door. And he's going to be coming in, and we're going to be talking about the what's going on, the updates with the Whitefish Credit Union. That is, I've been, as I stated previously, I've been by my own volition. I agreed to not put out any articles or talk really too much about the Whitefish Credit Union thing for some time now. That moratorium has been lifted, and now I am going to start putting out the information that should be put out quite some time ago. And for those of you that are following what happened with Montana Daily Gazette, where they were forced to take down the articles, apparently because they were untrue, that is bunk. I'm the one that wrote those articles. I'm the one that did those videos. I'm the one that did the investigations. I'm the one that did the research. And I'm not saying that's because I'm special. I'm saying that somebody else took down information that they said was untrue, that I produced. I never said it was untrue. Not one time did I say it was untrue. I stand behind everything that I reported about Whitefish Credit Union. And, there's so much more. I believe we've gotten to the point now where we're kind of figuring out their scam, their title laundering scam, where they launder titles and they steal properties. And it's a crime ring. It's a literal crime ring, and as we continue to go through on this broadcast, we are going to name names. We're going to show you pictures of these people, these crooks, and we're going to lay out their crimes here pretty much openly on this broadcast and other places, as many as we can get them out at. And we hope that you do some of your own investigating, because we're talking about, well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that here in a minute. But before we do, I would like to, first of all, pardon me, just want to say I thank I want to thank Mike Adams for allowing me to be on the Brighteon Radio program and now on his Brighteon TV broadcast. Really delighted to be involved in that. A great crew over there. Just top notch. Literally, just top notch folks working with Mike, top shelf, doing what they're doing with the radio and the video. And I want to give a shout out to them and thank them for all that they've done to help facilitate my participation in the Brighteon network. And I'm delighted for that. And I want to again thank them for that. So you can tune in tonight, I believe, on Brighteon.tv at Brighteon.tv at 5 p.m. Montana time. And that'll be my first show. I have to be honest with you. I usually produce all my own shows, and I have done so for a long time now. Apparently, what I'm being told, and I have no reason to disbelieve it, but the whole show is produced, and I just have to be the talent where I just have to sort of ask questions and introduce the guest and get involved in dialogue. And apparently everything else is done by the crew, which is, of all the things, I guess that's probably, to be honest with you, that's the thing I have the most apprehension over, because I don't know how to not produce. Like, I haven't done any shows where I haven't been producing everything for so long. I really don't, unless I'm a guest on someone else's show, which it's pretty rare, but I do go on other folks' show when I'm invited. But otherwise, I don't really produce anything when that happens. I just go on the show. But this is a little bit different because I actually have to interact, with the guests. I'm the host. So this doing the show here without having to produce it is kind of a new thing here for me. So we'll see how that works out tonight. It looks like on my restream that the video is a little bit choppy. I don't know why that would be. I got several things running at the same time here through this one PC. So maybe that is why, but we're doing the best that we can here, folks. Again, we'll be taking phone calls probably the second hour, and you can dial in at 563-999-3736. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to talk about some things here the first part of the show. And the second part of the show, I'm going to start laying out the groundwork for the Whitefish Credit Union and what's been going on with them. If you want to get a little heads up, you can go to creditunioncrimes.com. That's the website that I purchased that redirects now to Northwest Liberty News. It previously directed to Montana Daily Gazette when I was working with them. That is no longer in play, and the articles have been taken down from Montana Daily Gazette. However, they are still on Northwest Liberty News because they're factual and true. That's exactly why they're still there, because I don't take down stuff that I report on that's true. But that's another story altogether. So creditunioncrimes.com is the website that we'll be visiting after this first segment here and the next hour. So let's go over to some of the things here that I have pulled up, some of the incredible stuff that I have pulled up here on this on the news here. And you'll be able to see this if you're on the video side. This is from Reclaim, I don't even know what it is, Lynette. This is a website. Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta to trial biometrics for entry. I'm not sure if you heard about this. This is, you're going to love this one. If you're tired of sensors, this is their ad. The National Football League's Atlanta Falcons and Denver Broncos are trialing biometrics for concession payments and fan entry. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home to the Falcons and soccer team Atlanta United, plan to trial biometrics with 50 to 100 season ticket holders in the club seat section. The trial, which is voluntary for now, will use facial recognition to identify people and how many tickets they have. The technology could be extended to cover automated purchases at concession stands, restaurants, and bars. The owner of the two clubs in Atlanta said that the palm print could be considered and added that fans in the trial will be asked about the effectiveness of the technology. Well, there's no There's no hiding it anymore. I had to take my glasses off to read. I have an eye appointment coming up here pretty soon to get new glasses because these just don't work very well. Anyway, we've got the biometric rollout at the stadium. And you know how all this starts? It's voluntary. There's not going to be any personal information. All that. It's going to be completely secure. Just remember when they came out with the Social Security number, I don't know how many years ago, it was assured. They assured us that it would never be used for identification purposes or anything like that. How you think that worked out? How you think their plan worked out? Well, worked out great for them, not so much for us. So biometric testing at the football stadiums. So let me give you a little bit of roll you through how I think this is going to work out. And this is sort of the abbreviated version. They're going to have the limited amount of people that are going to go through, that are going to do the test run. They may do the test run for a year, and then they may include 1,000 people or 2,000 people next year. And then what they'll try to do is they'll create a scenario, probably in the form of child safety or something like that, that they'll people that don't have the biometric pass will be vilified, that they're not on board or they don't care about children or children's safety or some other cockamamie story they're going to make up that's going to sort of not really be based on facts but based on feelings, which is where a lot of people get their information these days, not from facts but from feelings. And what they'll do is you will become the outcast. So you'll have another line probably before that happens. You'll have another line that's a non-biometric pass line that's going to take, 30 or 40 minutes to get in. Looks like they did at the airport. Same thing they did at the airport, right? I don't fly, really. But I do know that I've flown enough to know that there's the line that you wait in with all the other schleps. And then there's another line that you have the pass that you already pre-did your pass and you already got pre-registered or whatever it's called, a fast pass. I don't know what they call it. But then you can just roll right by in the airport, right through, right? You show your pass. You don't have to go through all the crap, all the hands down your pants and all the shoes laces and all that stuff. You don't got to do any of that. Right through. You sail right through, right? So what that does is that they make it so unpleasant for the people that aren't really on board with the program that they passively herd these people like cattle over to the program that they want. For example, if you want to capture wild animals in your pen, like if you have a pen you want to capture, so you leave the gate open, put food down, let them come in, and then you hit them with the trap, bam, you close the gate. They're trapped. They can't get out at that point, right? But you slowly get them acclimated to coming into that pen over and over again over several nights, and there's food in there, and they feel comfortable, and then they tell their friends, so to speak, and they all pile in. Then you close the gate, and you got them, right? But that didn't happen overnight. You couldn't rush out there the first night because they'd all scatter because they're skittish. But what happens is you just condition them, and that's what this is. This is a conditioning. This is how they operate. They don't just say, hey, we're going to roll out these things and we're going to do it tomorrow. Everybody better get on board or they're going to be in trouble. They know that would never work, right? They know that would never work. So what they do is they, of course, incrementally, it's incrementalism. They take away your rights incrementally. So it's not like it's all at once. So people don't go up in arms and panic and everything. It's done a little bit at a time. Therefore, it's fairly unnoticeable. It's practically unnoticeable, right? Here's a good example, then I'm going to take a quick commercial break. Let's say you have a puppy or you have a dog and it's growing, right? You're with it every day and you see it grow a little bit every day, right? So it's not really that big of a deal to you as it gets bigger. I mean, you know it's getting bigger, but you don't really focus in on it because you're with it every day. But somebody that was there as a pup that saw your dog as a puppy and then comes over 4 months later and sees your dog and goes, holy cow, your dog's getting huge. And you're like, well, I guess I can't, it just looks like normal to me, right? Same type of situation. This is how they know this. This is it's a psychological, they psychologically know that they're going to start this program and make it real convenient. And you're going to get perks. You're going to get quickly in line. You're going to be able to get to the bathroom without waiting. You're going to be the concession line. You're going to be there and back just like that. People are going to fall for it. Take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these brief messages. Northwest Liberty News, RetroSurveyNews.com. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Have you heard of protovites? The most common health concern today is poor digestive health. Unlike ordinary supplements, Protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology. A published scientific study proves that Protovite is nutrition that gets in 100% of the time. Protovite uses the highest quality ingredients to rapidly nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone, and so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking.
Protovite, nutrition that gets in. Buy Protovite now.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
Okay, folks, thanks for hanging out with the break. If you want to check out Protovite, go to bloodboost.net. That's bloodboost.net. And if you haven't seen those videos where the live blood analysis videos where the person, they're doing the live blood analysis and all the junk's in the blood, and then they take the Protovite and they actually in live real time see how it's clearing up the people's blood. It's amazing. Bloodboost.net, bloodboost.net. And, of course, all the support for the sponsors of this broadcast help support the show. And we do appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go here for we have a hard break coming here, a network break coming up here in about 11 minutes or so. So we're going to cover some more of the news until we get to that point. So anyway, back to the biometrics. So this is what's coming. Beware. The very first video that I did that I produced was on chemtrails. This was back in 2013. Matter of fact, I just had left my place of employment and started Northwest Liberty News back in March of 2013, I believe it was, and March 10th. And the very first, I literally had just purchased my camera the day before, pardon me, charged it up, had it in the back of my car at the time, and saw a plane putting down chemtrails above Kalispell, and I got out, and that was my very first video. Was of chemtrails. And of course, you know, the conspiracy theory label wasn't very far behind, but we're finding now it's not a conspiracy theory any longer. Former head of the CIA, he's a crook. He you'll recognize his face. He comes out basically and admits the chemtrails have been real. And I want to play that video. I got a lot of ridicule from that, which is fine.
Another example is the array of technologies often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community. On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives.
Wow, there you go, folks. John Brennan, former director of the CIA, just pretty much stated that they seed the clouds and control the weather through geoengineering, otherwise known as chemtrails. What do you think about that? You know, and that's what's coming up here. I believe we're in the we're in the cusp, on the threshold of having a lot of these so-called conspiracy theories brought to light and realize that they're no longer conspiracy theories. These are facts that people like myself have been talking about for a long, long time. And again, have been called just a variety of different names and lost friends and family members think you're crazy. You know, I mean, this type of thing, right? So, this is all I believe now. I don't expect anybody to be calling up, to apologize, of course. But nonetheless, at least, you know, the people that have been talking about this for a long time will be somewhat vindicated, which I guess is good. I guess that's good. All right, let's move over to another one of these articles here. This guy, I just can't even. I mean, seriously. Al Sharpton, I mean, what a race hustler this guy is. He says the Bible, I mean, I hope you're sitting down. Obviously, this guy is no reverend. Al Sharpton says Bible endorses killing babies in abortion. I mean, seriously. Reverend Al Sharpton argued this with the Reverend Al Sharpton, and I say that, I mean, with a great deal of doubt. Let's put it that way, or more. Reverend Al Sharpton argued this week that the Bible endorses abortion because the Bible is about choice. Here's from the quote-unquote Reverend Al. The Bible, if you're using it as a religious argument, the Bible is about choice. Murder is about choice, too, but that doesn't mean the Bible condones it. It's not clear which Bible Reverend Al Sharpton is referring to, but it's not the Christian Bible. I mean, I don't even want to play this idiot, but we'll read his, this is from Life News, and this is a really good site, Life News. President of the National Action Network and NBC Politics Nation host Al Sharpton joined Chris Jansing, reports on Thursday, to discuss abortion and religion. Sharpton didn't understand how one could be a good Christian and be pro-life because, according to him, the Bible's about choice. I mean, we know that Al Sharpton has a different agenda than seeking and saving those that are lost. I think that's pretty apparent at this point. And I don't know. I don't even know what to say. When I see people like Al Sharpton and the way that he has just hustled people and the way that he's taken advantage of people, All I can think, the one word that comes to my mind is justice. I just hope that the justice is brought against these scoundrels in, you know, some manner or another. Of course, that's what you hope. And, you know, obviously this life or the next, but this life would be better. This life would be better for sure. All right, let's look here. We just got a couple minutes before we're going to go to the break, but I want to, this is, I believe, going to be coming up here pretty soon, folks. This is on the horizon. Here's how many Americans regret taking the COVID vaccine. A lot of them have regretted taking the COVID vaccine. And, of course, you can go check this out at Town Hall and look at it yourself, read it yourself. It's a fairly recent article. But one of the things that we're seeing here is the backlash that is that's coming. These people, in my view, knowingly harmed others and caused great harm and, in some cases, death. I don't think there's any denying that. And people are angry. People are not going to put up with it anymore. I'm not sure if you've heard this one here. Let's go to this here if you haven't heard this. Well, let's play it. Leave it to yourself.
Yeah, hi. Are you a pharmacist?
Yes, how can I help?
Yeah, hey, I've got a question. My wife, against my wishes, brought my son, 7-year-old son in there a few days ago for a COVID jab, and he's now in the hospital with myocarditis. And I was obviously not very happy with you guys or with my wife. She told me that she was not told that was a potential side effect. So why wouldn't you have told her that?
Okay. Sorry. So it's quite a rare side effect as well.
No, it's not that. No, it's not, because I've been doing research. It's common. In the U.S., there's tens of thousands of them reported to the CDC site. So why are you not telling parents this?
We might scare the parents and they don't want to get their child vaccinated.
Yeah, so you don't want to scare the parents with something that is actually happening, that's happened to my kid. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? You don't want to scare them. You need to give them the right information so they can make a proper decision. What is wrong with you?
So the pharmacist says, we don't want to scare the people, because then they may not want to get the vaccine. We don't want to tell them that you get myocarditis and maybe even death. We don't want to let them know that, because they may not want to get the vaccine if that happens. Let's see if we can get this video in before the break.
Someone's family member died after the vaccine, and this guy's just gone to the GP surgery.
Well, and if you didn't get a chance to see that video, that was a guy, I believe, in Australia whose family member died from the jab, and that was the doctor that administered the jab. He went after him, smashed out his window. Not a happy camper over that, and I can't say I blame him. we're coming to an end of a break here, folks. We're coming to a hard network break. Got to take a break. NorthwestLibertyNews.com. That's NorthwestLibertyNews.com. And you can actually find all the links. I've got to put the recent social media links on the website, but I haven't yet. But libertylinks.io/Jim's links. That's libertylinks.io/Jim's links. We'll be back after these brief messages. Okay, folks, thanks for hanging out for the break. I'm your host, James White. This is Northwest Liberty News. We are coming to you live from Kalispell, Montana. We're here each weekday, 10 to 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. The first hour is simulcast on a variety of different networks, including Bright Tian Radio. That's brighttianradio.com. We're on Rumble. Now that we're on taking phone calls, we're on Blog Talk. You can tune in via Blog Talk. You can tune in via Telegram. Just go to Northwest Liberty News. We're on Facebook. We're on Foxhole, Red Pill. And I think that's all, I believe. But we do appreciate you looking in, and we do appreciate your support, sharing the show. I also want to announce that we are launching a new solution series podcast with in cooperation with Solari.com, which is Catherine Austin Fitz and her great organization, and also Corey Lynn from Corey's Digs. Corey and I will be the host and co-host of the, co-hosts, probably the proper way, will be the co-host of the Solution Series, and it is sponsored by Solari and Corey's Digs, Solari.com and Corey's Digs. You can find out more about that by going to Solari.com or Corey's Digs. .com and you can sign up for that. The first episode is coming out and it's free. You should check it out. It's with Jim Gale, Food Forest Abundance. And Jim's a remarkable guy and he's got a lot of great information. And we would appreciate you checking it out and letting us know what you think. You know, the premise behind that is there's a lot of problems. People talk about the problems because there certainly is a lot of them. But we know what the problem is. We're going to talk about the solutions, and that's being self-sufficient. That's growing your own garden. That is, financially getting yourself straightened out, homeschooling, communications, off-grid living, gardening, that type of stuff. All that is on the docket, and we're excited to have that added to our, to our bag of information that we sort of reach into to be able to help folks and kind of wake them up and let them know what's going on. So we, again, appreciate you supporting that. That is on Solari.com or Corey'sDigs.com, and you can sign up for that stuff there. All right. So what we're going to do here, I think that's all of the news I wanted to hit that first hour. So what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about the Whitefish Credit Union. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up a document here. I have a voluminous, just an absolute voluminous amount of documents from Whitefish Credit Union. And I'm going to bring one of those up here. We're going to read from it. It's going to give, this is a long, very detailed issue with the Whitefish Credit Union and everything that they've done to a variety of different lenders. I've had several of them on my show. I've interviewed them. You can go to, and I'll go there now and I'll show you. You can go to creditunioncrimes.com. Let me find my mouse. I don't know where it's at here. When you have so many screens, it's kind of hard sometimes to find your mouse. So let's go to Credit Union Crime. I'll go to creditunioncrimes.com. That's creditunioncrimes.com. And that relinks you right over to the Northwest Liberty News and the Credit Union Crimes link, which looks like this. Let's bring it up here. Come on, you can do it. My site is slow today for some reason. Interesting. There we go. Okay, so creditunioncrimes.com takes you here, and this is the Whitefish Credit Union Flathead Valley, because that's where it's really in Flathead Valley and surrounding areas. And these are multiple videos that Nick's going to be on today. These are multiple videos that I've created and interviewed Rick Hawk, the late Rick Hawk. Rick passed away here, I think, within the last 8 months, 7 or 8 months, I think over last winter he died in a snowmobile accident. We have Joe Clark. We have the case that was in Helena, the hearing. This is Dr. Perry Berkey. There's Tony Mitchell. Go there and check it out, creditunioncrimes.com, and you can hear the interviews. That is right there. Dennis Thornton, who's one of the people we're going to be talking about today specifically, that's him filing the criminal complaint at the Flathead County Sheriff's Office. This is the property in question. Went around, they took a lot of his property. They damaged and they took some of his property, stole some of it. They vandalized a lot of the rest of it. And you just go check out the voluminous amount of videos. And again, some of these are back with Montana Gazette Radio days. But nonetheless, the information is the information. So you go check that out if you want to find out more about what we're going to be covering here on this broadcast. Now that we have sort of the ability to report on it and talk about it, and we're going to talk about the facts. We're going to talk about truth. We're not going to make anything up. We're not going to fabricate anything. We're not going to put information that's not there or insert data that isn't valid. And I wonder why I keep getting this. Just don't know why I keep getting this encoder setting error here. And I'm going to check this out, and I don't know why I'm getting this here. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm getting this message keeps popping up about some encoder thing. At any rate, I don't know why it's doing that. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. Trying to do this stuff on the fly here. I hope everything looks okay on the video. Seems to be okay to me. I can't see anything wrong with it, but we're going to carry on. Looks like we're getting a little bit of a choppiness. Might be getting some choppiness, and maybe that's why we're losing viewers there on Facebook. I've had issues with Facebook. That's why I made the announcement here not very long ago that I may be getting off of Facebook because I can't share my videos anymore. I get choppy reception on it. I just don't really – I don't know if Facebook's very reliable any longer. So Rumble is a good place to go. You can you just have to go to libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And you can see a lot of the places that you can get the show on. It doesn't look like Facebook's a very viable option anymore, or at least it hasn't been. So, anyway, we're gonna carry on here, and the show is being recorded, so I'll be uploaded to a couple other video sites as well if you didn't catch it around the first time. Okay, so we're going to open up the Carver report here. Give you a little bit of a background. Back in the 2008 time when they had the housing crisis, different institutions handled things, differently. There was a lot of pressure on banks and stuff. They're getting loans were going bad. They wrote a bunch of, no doc loans, and they did a lot of lending that wasn't exactly, let's say, by the book. And when I say that, I mean, they took in a lot of loans. They lowered the standards for people that got loans. And, you walk into a bank and if you basically had a pulse and an address, you could get a loan for, a house or whatever, whatever you wanted, several of them in some cases. So what happened was all that went on in 2008, the Whitefish Credit Union, which is the largest credit union in Montana, the Whitefish Credit Union got over their underwater, I guess you could say. Well, maybe that's not the right term. There is a when you're a credit union, you're only allowed to have a certain percentage of your loans that are business member loans. So if you had a pie, if your whole loan portfolio was like a big pie, and you had to cut that pie down into sections, the section that included business loans would only be able to be about 12 or 13% of that pie. The rest would have to be loans that were not member business loans and whatever other variety of loans, car loans, house loans for non-business members. You know, I don't really pretend to know all the different type of packages that they have there. But nonetheless, the bank is where is the bank, of course, is where you borrow money for houses and whatnot. So they had 28%. I'm trying to find the document here. I'm on the document. I'm trying to find the actual number here. But Whitefish Credit Union had somewhere around 28 or 29% of their loans were 28 or 29% of their loans were for business members, and that's way over the amount. So what they had to do was they had to, the National Credit Union said, you've got to get rid of some of these business member loans. So essentially, and I'm giving you the synopsis here, the cliff notes, and we'll talk about this more with Nick Ramlow when he comes in the next hour. We can open up the phones also. What happened was, instead of really working with the people, the borrowers, saying, hey, we got we went overextended. We need to work on your loan. Can we turn it over to another credit union? Can we work on some way to remedy this so we can get down into compliance? Rather than do that, the Whitefish Credit Union decided to foreclose on their borrowers, which really essentially did the same thing. Okay, when you foreclosed on them, it took them out of your pool of business loans and it moved them into another category. So they had two options, essentially. Credit union could have worked with the business members and said, hey, listen, because of the housing market thing, we got really too big too fast. We need to tone it down a little bit. Can we work with you on your loan? Can we work with another lending institution? And can we get this straightened out? They could have done that, but they didn't do that. What they did was they foreclosed and they set up positions. They set up situations where these properties got foreclosed on from good lenders. Now, I want you to keep in mind, to the letter, I've asked every one of the people that I've interviewed, every one of the people that I've interviewed that you're going to see as I continue to expose this, every one of them had plus 800 credit scores, and it had, in some cases, over $20 million worth of loans that they had taken out and paid back over a period of time without any missed payments, without any knocks on their credit. I mean, these were top-shelf, stellar borrowers, okay? I mean, over an 800 credit score is pretty big deal. So what we're doing here is, so let me just read this conclusion here. This is the summary. So let me bring this over here. Let me bring this over so you can see it. See if you can see it here. This is the right one. Okay. This is from Alan Carver. This is a report from Alan Carver. Alan Carver is 33 years as a regulator in the National Credit Union Association and 15 years as a consultant. Okay, so this guy's been around the credit union industry for 48 years. Hey, he knows his stuff. Okay, this is he was hired by Thorco to look over the case because they were trying to take his property, which has been valued over $100 million. It's 500 plus acres here in some prime real estate here in Montana, right overlooking the lake. I mean, there's million-dollar lots after million-dollar lot after million-dollar lot here at this place, right? So they coveted this property. The credit union really wanted to get this property, and they were going to get it by any way they could, okay, through hook or crook. Now, I did a whole show before, and I'll look for that video and try to replay it on the theft by threat or deception. You can't – it's theft in the Montana code if you acquire property via threat or deception. Okay, you can't acquire property by threatening someone to say, hey, like the old Godfather, either your signature or your brains are going to be on this paper here. It's up to you, right? Remember the story in The Godfather? If you've seen the movie, you can't gain property by threat in Montana, or, and it doesn't sort of have to be that drastic. You could just say, hey, I'm going to ruin you and ruin your family and ruin your credit and ruin your business. That's a threat. Or deception. And the deception was, the Whitefish Credit Union was told by the National Credit Union Association, you're not allowed to do any more business member loans. You can't do any more loans until you get this thing straightened back out again. They didn't tell the members that. So let's look over the borrowers that. So let's look over here at this document from Alan Carver, and we'll see what it says. In summary, now this is Alan Carver's report here, and again, 15 years as a consultant, 33 years as a regulator. In summary, it is my professional opinion, based on my 48 years in the credit union industry, that Whitefish Credit Union, Whitefish, clearly committed and violated not only a verbal agreement to finance the entire Thornton project to a total of approximately $7 million, but also committed a breach of a written contract involving the loaning of $500,000 and subordination of their lien, as shown in March 11th, 2009, Whitefish letter outlining in general terms of the financing agreement signed by Doug Johnson, who's the head of finance at the time. So this is what this guy is saying. That's in his professional opinion. They not only, and here's his words, they clearly committed and violated not only a verbal agreement, but also a breach of a written contract. How in the world, you tell me, when you breach a written contract like that in the tune of millions of dollars, you and this is the expert witness. Now here's the point. Want to hear the rub on this? This is before they decide to try to take his property. Get this. This makes it better. The report I just read to you and that section I just read to you from Alan Carver, who is a expert court witness. And if you scrolled up this document, you could see the many, many instances where he was named as an expert court witness. You can this document was not allowed by the judge. It was prohibited from being entered into the court because the judges are crooked, too. There's two crooked judges that work here in Flathead Valley, and we're going to show their face and name their names. And we've already done some preliminary investigations into these scoundrels, and we're going to name them and show their face and let you know what they've done, because they're crooks. We're tired of crooks. We're tired of crooks. County prosecutor, crook. People involved at the bank, crook. Not all of them, but enough of them. These people are in on it. It's an organized crime ring that's going on right here in Flathead Valley, Montana, believe it or not. And we are well into exposing it. And that's one of the things I'm going to be doing on this broadcast fairly regularly when I don't have guests, is going to be exposing criminality and getting the light shined on these cockroaches, because that's what they need. These cockroaches need a big flashlight shined on them. And we're going to discuss this in greater length after this first hour is over. And again, in 5 minutes, we'll be leaving this broadcast here on Brighteon Radio, but we'll be on all the other networks except Brighteon. So the first hour, again, of the show is always going to be simulcast on Brighteon Radio. And the second hour of the show will be on all other networks besides Brighteon Radio, and we'll have call-ins, and it'll be like a regular show. It just, you won't even really know the difference if you're not listening to Brighteon Radio. But that's how we're going to roll here. And if you're looking for the critical disclosure broadcast, that will be, now it's been moved to Monday evenings at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and of course, 4 p.m. Pacific. So if you're a fan of the critical disclosure, show. You can check it out on Monday evening again on Brighteon TV. And from this point on, this time slot here will be Northwest Liberty News from 10 to 12. And again, first hours on Brighteon Radio. And we're doing that because we're getting geared up for local radio and television coverage here. And that's sort of, we're getting sort of primed for that. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. And we appreciate your patience as we move through this here and get to the other side. And it'll be better on the other side. Isn't that what they say? It'll be better on the other side. So essentially, what we're going to do on the second hour is we're going to talk about, believe it or not, the prosecutor here in Flathead Valley has a case against Dennis Thornton, the guy I showed you, has a criminal trespassing charge against him for going on his own property. And we'll show you how it's impossible to see it any other way. He had a mortgage on the property, according to the records, and the credit union, when he went on that property, when we did those videos where we occupied that property last summer, they charged him with criminal trespassing, only to find out that it's his property and it's been turned over to him. They quit claim deeded everything to him, and we'll be covering that on the other side of this this break. I don't even know what that is. What was that, I wonder? Did you hear that beep? Does anybody know what that beep is? Oh, maybe somebody's joined the Nick's here, but he's Nick, are you in the other room? He must be outside in his truck. So what we'll do is we're going to take a break here in just about a minute and a half because the show's ending here for Brighteon Radio, and then we'll let Nick in. He might be outside. So we're going to talk about Whitefish Credit Union and more when we get back here on the other side with Nick Ramlo. Again, you can check out what we've got going on over at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And we're going to continue to stay tuned in if you've seen any of the stuff that we've done. We've been working on this Whitefish Credit Union case for a couple of years now or more, and probably more, I think about 2.5 years. And we aim to see it to the end, to the completion. And I think for me, a good completion would be these crooks being put behind bars. That would be a very, very good completion for me. So in about 30 seconds here, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we come back. What is this here? I'm getting a text. When we come back, we're going to have Nick Ramlo. Okay, so he's in the Zoom lobby. Okay, so I'm going to have to get a picture for Nick and put it on the screen. So we're going to appreciate you tuning in here today, folks, on this first show back from a little broadcast vacation in Northwest Liberty News, northwestlibertynews.com. That's northwestlibertynews.com. libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. Until next time, this is James White for Northwest Liberty News, saying bye now.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Have you heard of Protovites? The most common health concern today is poor digestive health. Unlike ordinary supplements, Protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology. A published scientific study proves that Protovite is nutrition that gets in 100% of the time. Protovite uses the highest quality ingredients to rapidly nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking Protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points, and my fibromyalgia pain is gone, and so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking.
Protovite, nutrition that gets in. Buy Protovite now.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medication. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
Oh, Polly, oh, Polly, it's for your sake alone. I left my dear old father, my country, and my home. I left my dear old mother to weep and to mourn. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. It's grape shot and musket and the cannon lumber loud. There's many a mangled body, the blanket for their shroud. There's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home.
Okay, folks, I'm your host, James White. Thanks so much for joining us here on the second hour of Northwest Liberty News. We are on all the same fine networks that we were just on last hour, except for Brighteon Radio. You can check out everything we have going on at libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. That's libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And I'm looking for a picture of our guest, Nick Ramlo, here. And I have it somewhere, and I don't know where it is because I have so many different spots with photos. But nonetheless, we're delighted. I'll find it here in a minute. We're delighted to be joined by Nick Ramlo here on the line. He is with the People's Rights Organization here. Let me ask him to unmute. He's with the People's Rights Organization here in Montana, and I believe he's a chapter leader here for that organization. Been on the broadcast many times, and we are talking about the Whitefish Credit Union and the situation. Really, it sounds like they are doing laundering titles and acquiring property. Again, as I stated previously, folks, it's a violation of Montana code to acquire property via theft or deception. And we have some instances where theft and deception were used. You know, when it pertains to Whitefish Credit Union. So we're going to welcome Nick Ramlo on the line here, and we're going to talk about that and anything else really he wants to talk about. Nick, are you with us?
Yeah, Jim, thanks for having me.
Hey, Nick, it's great to have you on, man. Really appreciate you being on the broadcast again. You've been here, of course, several times. There is Nick's face right there. So I think I finally found, Nick, I think I finally found the, I finally found your image here. So let's get that straightened out. Anyway, Nick, while we're doing that, tell us, for those people that may be tuned in for the first time here, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about People's Rights. That's the organization I know that you are associated with here in Montana. And there's that handsome guy, Nick Ramlo, right there. We got him on the screen now. Nick, thanks for being here today, buddy. And let us know how things are going with People's Rights. I got to believe you're growing like crazy now with all of the with all the tyranny going on. I imagine as the tyranny increases, I imagine the membership probably increases as well. Nick Ramlo.
Certainly. It's kind of People's Rights is kind of a hedge against government intrusion. Here in Montana, our membership rates have kind of slowed dramatically, which is kind of a signal that we're doing some things right in Montana compared to some other states. As states do things that are improper, we get spikes in membership. You know, people want to defend against that. And People's Rights is really just a communications tool that helps people unite to defend each other. And it's just a tool for people to help organize and unite together when faced with uncertainty. And so I'm glad that the tool's out there, and we utilize it when it's needed.
PeoplesRights.org is the website, folks, PeoplesRights.org. And, you may not agree with every single thing that they stand for, and that's okay. I don't think you really want to. But you know what? If you have something, if you get in a large group like that, you know, don't let the fact that you may not agree with everything they do, and I don't see any reason you wouldn't, but if you're in that situation, folks, then you know what? Offer new ideas. You step up and say, hey, listen, I don't really agree with this, but I think there might be a better way to do it. That's how we're going to solve this problem, not by getting angry and not participating, but by everybody getting involved. Because I think, Nick, right now, I think the establishment is very vulnerable. I think they're super vulnerable. A lot of the lies, a lot of the disinformation, a lot of the falsehoods and the frauds that they've been perpetrating for years are starting to come out more recently. The jab, you see how now they're even coming out and admitting, well, we knew it wasn't really going to be effective, but they all made billions of dollars. I'm not sure if you saw the video. I played this in the first hour where this guy in, I believe it was Australia, actually tracked down the doctor that gave one of his family members the jab and they died. And he tracked him down and like smashed his window in, kind of going after him. Give us your overall viewpoint, Nick. Let's go from the macro, then we'll go down to the micro, and then we'll get into the Whitefish Credit Union thing. What do you think's going on here? Do you think we're marching more towards tyranny, or do you think we're marching more towards freedom?
Yeah, well, on the macro side of things, the biggest problem that we have to figure out is the problem of undue influence. And so to the extent that all of the institutions within the county are rent-seeking federal dollars. Their decision-making process is predicated on how much revenue generation they can get through federal grants. That takes the public input, the public participation out of it. It really tips the scale on the decision-making process, and that's really, I think, fundamentally the biggest issue that we have to try and remedy is how to have more control over our decision-making process and to take away the federal power to push the lever on that decision and have a little more local control over the decision-making process. And so to the extent that we can remedy that, we'll be headed towards freedom. To the extent that we are incapable and that rent seeking continues, we'll continue on the same path.
You know, Nick, I'm going to ask you this question here. We don't script anything, of course. We generally know we're going to talk about Whitefish Credit Union, but the Federal Bureau of Investigations, I've called on this show. I've called on it 10 times. If I've called on it one time for the legislators, the attorney general, the governor, I don't know care who, they, whoever has the ability to do that, I think they need to ask the FBI to leave Montana, politely ask them to leave before they set up a man or woman in Montana with a crime. And that's sort of what you're talking about. The reason that made me think of that is you're talking about local control. I think that the sheriff's department can do everything that the Federal Bureau of Investigation can do. I think they have SWAT teams. I think they have cybersecurity teams. I think they have, you know, investigators that will investigate crimes. What's your thoughts, Nick? Does it concern you as you see the actual, just the FBI's criminality? And they're not just criminality. They're working against this country. Does that concern you? And what's your thoughts about, do you think we're going to come have a time where we're just going to be asking some of these federal agencies like the FBI just to leave our state because we don't want them here anymore?
I mean, it's something to consider, but at the same time, you know, with regard to Whitefish Credit Union, it might be that our only remedy is seeking help from the feds. And so the idea that the sheriff has power, he does. The issue is that we're sending a bunch of our money to the feds first. And so we're not sending it to the sheriff's office. And the only way that the sheriff gets any of that revenue is if he signs an MOU. And so right now with the investigative power at the sheriff's office, he's constrained to a budget. And let's say he wanted to have people investigate Whitefish Credit Union. There's just not enough money at the county level because he's got people investigating murders and stabbings and things like that. And so I don't know. It's a tough one. When you have local corruption, it's good that there's an institution that's not tied to the community that has independent investigative powers. And just with this particular situation with Whitefish Credit Union, I don't know how we would resolve it without, you know, there's not going to be any, the attorney general won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. We don't anticipate getting any help from the courts in the county. And so, you know, it's a give and take with that whole FBI deal.
No, I see what you're stepping in. I can dig it. Let me read this. Let me read this to you, Nick, and I'm going to get your reaction to it. This is the report from Alan Carver. This is the summary. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a brief part of the summary here from Alan Carver, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Now, this is, again, folks, this is the summary from Alan Carver. In summary, it is my professional opinion based on my 48 years in the credit union industry, 33 years as a regulator and 15 years as a consultant, that Whitefish Credit Union clearly committed and violated not only a verbal agreement to finance the entire Thornton project to a total of approximately $7 million, but also committed a breach of a written contract involving the loaning of $500,000 and subordination of their lien, as shown in the March 11th, 2009 Whitefish letter outlining the general terms of the financing agreement signed by Doug Johnson. What is your initial thought to that? Nick, this document, as you know, this was blocked by the judge. I believe it was Judge Wilson. This wasn't allowed in court. They didn't allow that testimony, the expert witness testimony from Alan Carver, who's been an expert witness in several different cases. They didn't allow his report into the case, and it's obvious to me why they didn't. What's your initial thoughts on this, Nick, what I just read to you?
Yeah, I don't know what the reasons were, the grounds for keeping that out of the record. One of the consequences for keeping that out of the record is that when the case went to the Montana Supreme Court, the Supreme Court never got to see that expert witness testimony or the summary. And so there were some consequences to that decision by Judge Wilson. But I don't know the extent to which he made that decision, the whys and or whatnot. And so it's Dennis's ability to litigate that and to use that expert testimony was futile within the county. And so this is kind of I think Dennis now has moved into federal bankruptcy court and will try to relitigate, and hopefully he can get that expert testimony into the record.
Well, but I mean, what's your thoughts about the testimony about him coming out and saying they committed a breach of a written contract involving the loaning of $500,000? That's no small amount of cash, man. That's a lot of dough. They violated a written contract. When someone violates, Rick, Nick, you're pretty studious, man. You study a lot of stuff, man. You're very book smart when it comes to that stuff. I mean, a breach of a written contract of $500,000, man, is no small matter. I mean, should there even be, if it's known that you breached the contract, aren't you at fault? I mean, there's very rare occasions, perhaps maybe there's a force majeure or something that you have that in place ahead of time, but I don't think that's the case here. How do you, I mean, there it is right there, black and white, Nick, a breach of a written contract of a loaning of $500,000. How come that didn't get taken care of?
Yeah. And it's not just the breach of contract, which would, Dennis would be entitled to damages, but also there could be a claim of unjust enrichment. And unjust enrichment doesn't just come with damages. It comes also with punitive damages. That definitely could be added on to Dennis's claim. It's unfortunate that it wasn't adjudicated properly in the county. And for whatever reasons, I don't have the evidence to say, that there was collusion or, things like that. But it definitely looks and feels the part. And, we're just hoping that we can bring some accountability to the credit union. And we're having to be really innovative in how we do that. They're a very fortified institution. $2.5 billion in equity, and they're smart, and they've got the resources to put together teams of lawyers and things like that. And so it's really a David versus Goliath scenario.
No, I concur with you, Nick. I've got a document here that you don't have you've seen it, I'm sure, but you don't have the luxury of having it in front of you. It's the satisfaction of mortgage document. The recent document that was distributed to Dennis Thornton, I want to say on or around the 12th day of May, I think is when he received it. This is a satisfaction of mortgage, and let me read this here, and then I'll get your reaction. Let me bring it up on the screen so people can see it. Satisfaction of mortgage. Know all men by these presents that Whitefish Credit Union does hereby certify that a certain mortgage – dated, made, and executed by Thorco Incorporated as mortgator to Whitefish Credit Union, the mortgatee, conveying certain real estate therein mentioned as security for the payment of $3,360,000 as therein stated, which mortgage was recorded in the office of the county clerk and ex officio register of deeds at Flathead County, Montana on 3/24/2009. As instrument number, whatever, in book and page, and mortgaging certain described real estate in said county, including the following portion, is with the note secured thereby and the aforementioned debt fully paid, satisfied, released, and discharged, and in consideration thereof, the said mortgagee does hereby release and quit claim unto the said mortgator the premises thereby conveyed and mortgaged. So essentially what we're looking at here, folks, is this is an official document put together by the attorney, in fact, Shauna Romrell, who's the president of this this organization, TFSS. This is, Nick, now, have you seen the document that I'm talking about, Nick? You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Yep, I've seen it.
Based upon your opinion and the opinion of others, but let's just get your opinion. Is this what we're looking at here that I have on the screen that you can't see? Is this a legitimate, lawfully executed document that you can tell from your viewpoint or from looking at it before? What do you think?
Certainly. I mean, the person has power of attorney. I think it's an Idaho company, which Whitefish Credit Union gave power of attorney. and they filed that lien satisfaction. What's interesting about the lien satisfaction is that it's the very document that Dennis went to court to start with to get, back in 2016. And his claim was, hey, they never filed a lien satisfaction note, and then that left the title clouded, so I was unable to get financing because all these other creditors were seeing that I owed them money when I didn't, and I needed the mortgage satisfaction in order to show those creditors so that I could borrow money so that I could fulfill my obligation. And the courts disregarded his claim, and then here 6 years later, when it turns out that after a bank oversight committee hearing that this lien satisfaction letter, the very thing that he was claiming he needed the whole time and it wasn't filed, the bank is out of compliance and they have to file it. They got pressured from the Department of Administration that wasn't in the file. Now they file it after they've transferred the property two times, and Dennis is in limbo. And this isn't a small mistake. The value of the property is roughly $110 million. That's a huge loss. And right now, all of the buddies, all of Whitefish Credit Union's buddies are kind of benefactors of that hardship upon Dennis.
Yeah, but I think that's a temporary situation if you want to know the truth. And I think that's going to be rectified. So let's look at this here. This satisfaction of mortgage. I want you. Let's do a little deductive reasoning here, Nick. Let's put our Columbo hat on for a minute. So this, what you're seeing here, what you can't see, but this document is dated the 12th day of May. Okay, and it says here at the very bottom, and I'll bring it over here again so people can read it. And I'm not making it up. Witness the due execution and delivery of this satisfaction of mortgage this 12th day of May in the year 2022. So I'm going to play a little deductive reasoning games with you in here, Nick. The satisfaction of mortgage occurred on the 12th day of May. Would one be able to assume, because it was satisfied by this date here and signed on the 12th day of May, that there was a mortgage in place January 1st.
Yeah, I mean, it calls him the mortgager.
Right.
And so it's implied through the document that Dennis had a mortgage.
Right.
Up until May 12th.
Right. Now, I'm looking at another document here. This is the Office of the County Attorney, who I think is a crook, here from Flathead County. This is a criminal trespass complaint filed towards Dennis Thornton on the 18th day of, right here, it's the 18th day of, the 19th day, I apologize, of January in 2022. The county prosecutor actually went through and filed a criminal trespass case against Dennis Thornton. And we've just established that he had a mortgage on that property up until the 12th of May. I don't even know how to even wrap my mind around this, Nick. Have you ever heard in your lifetime a credit union imploring the local county prosecutor to file trespassing charges against someone that they have a mortgage with, that has property with them? I mean, I'm sure in some cases if they don't get off or don't pay it, and they send the marshals in to lock the property down, that's not what I'm talking about. Someone that has a mortgage on a property, do you think it's unusual for them to try to arrest the person, or let's say arrest it, but charge a person with criminal trespassing on a property that they have under mortgage? Any thoughts on that, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, basically what the credit union is doing is it's using people who are immune from prosecution. So the credit union essentially knocks on the door of the county prosecutor. Hey, please go do us a favor. Prosecutors, at most there's a malicious prosecution, but the county prosecutor is not going to be accountable for any of the damages caused by the malicious prosecution. it's awful because we've been going to the county and saying, please investigate Whitefish Credit Union for these alleged crimes. And we've gotten no feedback at all from the county. The county doesn't want to touch it. And, you know, it all makes sense when you realize that credit union is the biggest, you know, in terms of capital, biggest institution in the county, you know? And there's a lot of lobbying power and political capital that can be formed through its coffers. And I don't know what the deal is exactly. I just know that forces that be are doing their darndest to try and keep Dennis off of that property. And so far, he's doing a good job of fighting back.
So I have another document here I'm looking at. This is a corrected release of mortgage document. You've probably seen this document as well. This corrected release of mortgage supersedes and replaces the satisfaction of mortgage recorded on 512. Basically, this is a document signed by the CEO of Whitefish Credit Union, and it's notarized, and it essentially says that they want to correct the record. It says, at no time has the mortgagor paid or satisfied the mortgage other than as described above. So essentially, the CEO of Whitefish Credit Union, James Kenyon III, another crook, he came out and he's trying to take Dennis's property back. But this is an unlawful attempt. I think this in itself is a crime, Nick. This is an attempt to steal the property, because this is not. Tell people why they're looking to start. Tell people why, in your opinion, why this is not valid. Why this whole corrected release of mortgage, where the CEO of Whitefish Credit Union, who, understand, folks, is nothing more than an employee. He gets his checks from Whitefish Credit Union. He's an employee of the credit union. He's not God. Well, how does the CEO get to come in and take the property back that the credit union turned over to Dennis lawfully with an attorney of fact? How does that happen, Nick? Tell us how this breaks down.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, not everybody, I mean, you can't send a bank teller down to the clerk and recorder's office and have her record documents on titles. It's just the bank has a certain set of things that it can do. Transferring title isn't one of them. We have title companies for that. And with regard to recording documents, the bank's required to have somebody with power of attorney, a different institution, not the bank, somebody who has power of attorney to go and record documents. Not anybody at the bank can just go and record willy-nilly whatever they want. And that includes the CEO of the bank. He simply just doesn't have power of attorney to record documents for the corporation. And so it's basically a void document. It doesn't have any weight.
Okay, so I realize that. I agree with you, and I think that that has been proven out afterwards. It's proven out that this, as far as I know, as we sit here today, this has not officially been registered as legitimate. This document right here. But the mere fact, Nick, and I know you're not a prosecutor, and I know you don't claim to be one, but the mere fact that he tried to pull these shenanigans and tried to steal the property back, isn't that in itself constitute a crime? And then B, why would they go after Thorco? Wouldn't they go after the title company who approved it? Isn't that who their target should be? Somebody committed fraud. Because it says right here, this was an unauthorized transfer of property. What happens when I go into the bank, Nick, and make an unauthorized withdrawal of cash? What's that called? When I go in the bank and do an unauthorized withdrawal of cash, that's a bank robbery, isn't it? I mean, that's
right.
What it's called, right? Unauthorized withdrawal of cash. So they said that the mortgage company did an unauthorized transfer. Let me bring up the document. The mortgage company did an unauthorized transfer. So why aren't they going after the mortgage company for theft of $100 million property? They go after me if I made an unauthorized withdrawal from the bank. Why don't they go after the title company for making an unauthorized transfer? Any thoughts on that, Nick?
Well, one reason is that, you know, to successfully prosecute any crime, crimes are divided up into elements, material elements. And so one of those elements would be like malicious intent or intent to defraud. And this is one of the elements that we don't have substantial evidence of, is that, say, Mark Kenyon, in filing that document, intended to defraud or had malicious intent. And this is where whistleblowers within Whitefish Credit Union could really help us out, was if there's internal memos that kind of lay foundation for successfully prosecuting, there is the intent element, and that the credit union acted with malicious intent to defraud these people.
Nick, what's it called, Nick, when you steal someone's property and then you sell it and then you sell it and then you sell it again? Isn't that intent to defraud? That sounds like laundering a title to me. That sounds like trying to launder a title. What about when you're supposed to be deeds and you're supposed to keep them at the title company, but instead, like Sean Frampton did, the attorney for Whitefish Credit Union, took them and filed them in Whitefish Credit Union's name as they have the ownership. That's done intentionally. There's no mistake. This is an organized crime ring, Nick.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know the Montana code, but there is a section that describes transferring property that you know is stolen is just like stealing it. It's treated the same way in terms of penalty. You don't, because somebody else stole something and then you get it and you sell it again, knowing that it'd take, for instance, we could use just bartering goods at the, what are those shops? Pawn shops. And if a pawn shop receives goods that it knew were stolen, and then tries to resell those, it commits theft in the same manner.
So I guess, Nick, you touched on it earlier. It's sadly, as sad as it is to admit it, we're in a situation where it seems that the only place to turn to is the feds, the crooked feds. Isn't,
right.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
It's not the only. It kind of is disgusting that, you know, we have to go to the feds because our county's incompetent, but it's not the only remedy. There is another remedy. The problem is that, the other remedy that I have requires the victims to actually go out into the world and do something. And the only victims that we really have, we have two or maybe three victims, that are actually carrying the burden and trying to change the outcome. The rest of the victims are kind of non-participants. And it's that lack of participation that doesn't make the second remedy viable. So we could take over the credit union from the inside out. That doesn't require the feds. It doesn't require county participation. It just requires members of the credit union signing a document. And that's been a remedy that's been out there for some time. But the victims themselves are going to have to carry the burden of going and making that happen.
We've had some communication with some folks you may or may not be aware of, Nick. And apparently there's a sort of a culture of fearfulness with folks. At least that's what we've been told. There is some fear about speaking out and going against the credit union because people are, in some cases, literally worried for their health and safety. That's a chilling thought, Nick, that you're afraid to speak out because you're really afraid you might be harmed. There's got to be, if that is the case, we really do have to implore these people that made that person that made that statement and others. We have to implore them to come out and speak out in great numbers, because I think that, you know, you ever heard the saying, they can't kill us all. If enough people came out and spoke up, that could be one of the remedies. Do you see that, Nick? And I know that, you know, you've dealt with and worked with some of the victims as well. Do you get that same sense, as underlying sense of fear or uncertainty about going against the credit union? Because they, again, folks, They are the largest credit union in Montana, the largest single credit union in Montana. I think at one point they had over $1 billion in assets. They may still, I think, even approaching $2 billion at one point at their heyday. Nick, is that what you're hearing? Are you hearing a sort of a fearfulness? Do you think that's why maybe more people aren't participating? What's your take on that?
Well, some of the victims don't participate simply because it requires public exposure, and they have business models where they say don't want to expose themselves as controversial or whatever. And okay, fine, you're not going to get relief then. You know, me personally, I know that Whitefish Credit Union's just dying to file a slap suit. A slap suit is special litigation against public participation. And so let's say we're protesting outside Whitefish Credit Union. We're alleging that they committed fraud. We're alleging that, let's say somebody alleges that Mark Kenyon, the CEO, stole money. Let's say that somebody alleges that he did that. Now what the credit union is going to do is they're going to file a slap suit, and they're going to allege defamation and that we're interrupting their business, and they're going to seek damages. Now, most slap suits don't successfully go to trial simply on the basis that they, you know, at some point it's the factual records revealed that people were asking for one of the protect yourself under the petitions clause is that you have to actually ask for some sort of government redress. So for instance, we've been asking for government to investigate, which they haven't done. And so as long as we continue to ask that question on top of claiming these things, we're safe. But the point of slap suit is simply to, it isn't to win, it's for bigger institutions, the Goliaths, to simply sap all of David's resources during the litigation process and to chill their speech. I mean, that's what a slap suit's designed to do. It's to chill people, and so that they aren't saying things or pointing their finger at your business. And so that could happen at any time. I'm kind of aware of it in the back of my mind as to what I say on air with you now, is that I have to be careful not to allege things that I don't know, in fact, to be true. But if I am going to allege them, to at least say that I'm asking for government to act in some manner. It's just a thing. They're a big, big, big institution, and they have a team of legal experts, and they have no hesitancy to just go after the weakest lamb in the group and just destroy it.
So folks, we're going to take phone calls. If you're listening to the broadcast and you want to call into the show, 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. If you want to call in, you can, if you've been a victim of Whitefish Credit Union, certainly feel free to call in. If you have a question for Nick Ramlow about what's going on, feel free to call in. You know, here's the thing, Nick. If they were, for example, to try to target me, in these suits, I would call in all of these witnesses, all these people that I've interviewed, all these people that have their cases have not been able to be heard of. And all these, they would be my witnesses, because I'm the ones that I'm doing the interviews with them. So they would not only be coming after me, but they would have to not only impeach my character, they would have to do that to about, you know, 7 or 8 other people as well. And all those cases that they did would have to be rehashed out and brought back out again. I'm not sure they want that. They may do that anyway. I don't know. I'm not fearful of that, because I think what I'm saying is the truth. One of those two documents, Nick, institutes felony conversion. Either the document that was produced by the title company is a felony conversion, or the document produced by James Kenyon constitutes felony conversion, because both of those documents can't be true. One of them is a crime. Would you agree or disagree with that, Nick?
I agree. Yeah. They can't both be true at the same time.
Correct. Okay, so what do you think? You worked a lot on this, Nick. What do you think is going to be? And I don't want to give away any of our strategy or anything like that. But is that your number one recommendation to be able to overcome these tyrants? Is to have the folks stand up and tell us about the taking over the credit union. We kind of breezed past that. Flesh that out a little bit for us.
Yeah, I mean, so we have constraints. One of the constraints is that the county on our behalf. So we have kind of like this separation of powers going on, and it's not working in our favor. And the sheriff's office has said that it's just going to document. And so what that means is that the actual property is kind of like the Wild Wild West. There's no government institution is actively protecting Dennis Thornton's rights or interests. Okay. And so Dennis, it's on Dennis to seek help from his neighbors, essentially, to help preserve and protect his property interests. One of the things that should be happening is that you have to claim a right, you have to use it, and you have to defend it. And so one of the things that should be happening is that Dennis should have at least 5 to 10 people up there working every day. Even if they're just volunteers, they should be improving the landscape, mowing the roads, maintaining the property, treating it as if it's yours, and defending it. And, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. And that could end up in a conflict. It could end up, say, in a shootout. That's why I say it's the Wild Wild West, is that because the courts have screwed up so bad in the county, that the controversy hasn't been properly adjudicated. And so that controversy exists in our county. It's still live and well. And Dennis has to exert natural law. He has to basically possess the property and control it until the courts recognize his claim.
He can't go on the property right now because they've got a criminal trespassing charge against him. He's barred from going on this property that has been lawfully deeded to him on May 12th. And I read the document and showed it on air, but he's still not allowed to go on his property, Nick.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's going to be easy for him. He might have to look to say, if you own the property, lease it to somebody. Okay, so he might need to just lease the property and enter an agreement with a third party. And still, you can accomplish the same thing without him actually going on the property.
That's a good
point. So there's that. There's that. Either we need the feds to jump in, or he's just going to have to figure out a way to do it the other way. And the other way kind of sucks because you'll probably end up, who knows? It's a tough deal. And, those are just the remedies that I see. That's the one way. And then the other way is that we're asking for the feds' help. Another third way is that we get a flow of whistleblowers from the credit union that expose the malicious intent that we need.
Well, I was told by the sheriff, who we both know, that they wanted to actually ask him to file a criminal trespassing complaint against me as well, specifically. And he said he'd tell them, no, he's not going to do that. But I don't think that the sheriff, quite honestly, if Dennis Thornton went on his property, I can't see the sheriff arresting him. I can't see the sheriff carrying through and executing that trespassing charge against him when he's got the documentation to prove that he owns it. I mean, isn't there one element, Nick? Isn't there one, sort of one angle in warfare where you force the other side to act like tyrants? You force them to show their hand? Because what are they going to do? He actually has a document that says it's his property and they're going to arrest him for trespassing on his own property. What kind of precedent does that set? You don't think people are going to be outraged because they know we could be next? If they're arresting somebody for trespassing on their own property, how come they're knocking on my door tomorrow?
Yeah, and, you know, the protection order, that's definitely, you know, the thing is the sheriff's not needed to enforce a protection order. They could just move for contempt of court or violation of the protection order, and Dennis could go to jail without the sheriff even knowing about it. Okay, there'll just be a marshal in the courtroom, and they'll haul him off to jail, and the discretionary powers out of the hands of the sheriff at that point. And so, yeah, the protection order exists as a, you know, kind of a interesting thing that Dennis is going to have to figure out how to get around. I think he just asks other people to do it for him, and that, you know, he either bankrolls it or some other way.
Well, it's pretty, it's pathetic, man, that we have to actually do that in this town. That is, it's disheartening, I have to say. And I know that doesn't really solve anything, being disheartened and feeling like, you know, realizing the pathetic nature of what we're in. But I think it's just going to get worse, Nick. I think this is just, you know, and here's the thing too. And you know, I want to get your viewpoint on this. We got about 15 minutes left. This is not an isolated situation, meaning if they figured out how to pull this stuff off here in Flathead Valley, Montana, I got to believe that the same scam is going on at other locations and other points across the country. What's your view on that?
Certainly. I mean, one of the things I've learned in the last couple of years is that attorneys rule the world. They, I think most, if not all bad deeds, a lot of bad deeds are just coming right on paper, passing through the courts as misrepresentations by attorneys. And it's all over the place. And the bigger your institution is, the bigger your legal team's going to be, and the more pressure you can put on other people, weaker people around you. And, you know, it's sad that it's here, and that Whitefish Credit Union, we believe, has been doing this. And with 56,000, the whole idea behind the credit union is that the members are supposed to control it. And yet the members are mostly oblivious to what it's doing and how it's taking advantage of its own members. And, you know, the purpose of the credit union is to improve the social and economic condition of its members. And that's not what it's doing. That's not what it's doing. It's, you know, when there's allegations of manufactured foreclosures and corruption and collusion between the courts and the credit union, the banks, and virtually nothing is happening at the county level, that kind of screams that, well, that's a symptom of exactly what we're claiming, right?
Yes, yes. Well, we have actually a phone call.
Great.
Let's take a phone call. And the rules of the phone call here, folks, if you're listening, you don't have to agree with myself or the guest, but just be respectful and, you know how it goes. So let's take this phone call. Caller, you're live on the air. I see you're calling from Montana. Please state your first name.
Randy Mitchell, Jim.
Hey, Randy. You're here with myself.
Hey,
and Nick.
I know. I'm going to watch your show here. I got a question. Why isn't the state doing anything? Well, that's the problem. We went to the hearing. They all agreed there needed to be an investigation. Why isn't there an investigation? Why aren't they doing the investigation? Why can't we hold their feet to the fire?
Well, I'll comment on it quick and then let Nick comment it. There may very well be an investigation going on, Randy. I don't know. If there was an investigation going on, they probably people wouldn't really know it, or they wouldn't do a very good job investigating. Now, that being said, any good investigation done by any organization should speak to the victims like yourself, Tony, Dennis, and others. And as far as I know, that hasn't been done yet, but they could be running some investigation where they're not talking to the, maybe they have enough information just based upon records, or they're not talking to the victims. I don't know. Nick, you care to comment on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the products of the state's participation in the investigation was the notice of mortgage satisfaction. I think that occurred as a consequence of the Department of Administration kind of asking some questions of the credit union and finding that they were out of compliance, and then demanding that they get that worked out. And then, so I think that there is something going on, but I think it's more just to get the credit union compliant into regulatory compliance, so it looks like nothing's wrong, as compared to actually investigating crimes.
Talking about collusion. It sounds like they're kind of purposefully shielding the credit union to keep them from facing any harm. Is that what you're saying, or no?
Yeah, as long as we get the credit union back into regulatory compliance, then there's no issues with money stream from federal grants. There's just, you know, I think the goal is just to get the credit union back in compliance, and it's not really to investigate them for financial crimes or to prosecute them at the state level. That's my impression at the state level, is that it's simply not to penalize or do anything punitive to the credit union. However, at the FBI level, you know, the sheriff told me that the FBI investigator that had investigated this thing for a couple of years, he had conducted a ton of interviews, and he was very knowledgeable of the whole subject. But the piece of the pie that he was missing was the malicious intent element. And that's really why I keep bringing that up, is because that's the part of the puzzle that we're missing, is the email where Jim Kenyon says, we want to do this for whatever. You know, we're missing that key piece of evidence that actually places liability on an individual's shoulders, that they did it intentionally. That's the part we're missing.
Randy, any follow-up on that?
Well, I just think that's just a runaround. I think it's who's going to carry out the deed? Who's going to be the one that blows the whistle? Nobody wants to be that person in the state, is what I can see. That's just a big cover-up. Like Nick said, they just want to get the credit union back in compliance and forget about all the stuff that happened in the past. And that's just not right. That's not what the Consumer Protection Bureau, I didn't think, was supposed to be, or anybody else in the state. As far as the Attorney General goes, I thought he was for the people, not for a bank or a corporation.
No, the Attorney General actually defends the state. He probably will be the one defending if Dennis Thornton decides to bring, you know, litigation forth against the state. He'll be the one that will be defending it. He'll be defending the state, of course. Nick, I want to go back to your point. You're talking about malicious intent. There are certain laws and codes that, especially credit union as a lending institution, they have to follow certain guidelines. And like, for example, they're not allowed to even, from what I'm understanding, they're not allowed to even touch the title work. They're not allowed to do anything, transferring title work or anything like that. They're not allowed to do any of that stuff. They can't even touch it. It has to be done by a title company. But they flaunt regulations. They don't follow the procedures that are supposed to be followed. Obviously, you see where I read to you before, where they breached their written contract of $500,000 to Dennis Thornton. There doesn't really need – I mean, what malicious intent do we need, Nick? They violated, you know, a dozen codes. I mean, what?
Well, let's take just the one aspect of Jim Kenyon filing that document with clerk of recorder, whether or not that violated a Montana code or not. Now, if it does, which we think it does, we would just use that in the civil side and say, Your Honor, this document is invalid because it doesn't comply with this code, and this code. And the court might say, okay, or it might not say. But the problem is that code doesn't actually have teeth. There's no actual penalty for violating it. It's just a code that you can use to invalidate some other thing, but it doesn't have like a penalty.
So felony transfer, felony conversion is a 5-year felony.
That would be where we have the specific intent requirement comes in, where if Jim Kenyon, in order to prosecute that, we would have to have substantial evidence that Jim Kenyon intended to manipulate or defraud or whatever. And that's just an element of the crime we don't have substantial evidence of. The other way you can get there is to say it is implied through some other act. But that's a weak argument.
Well, Randy, for those of you who don't know, Randy is a victim of the credit union. And if you go to creditunioncrimes.com, you can see Randy's interview with him, he and his wife, Tony, that we conducted right here in the studio, I don't know, two or three years ago. Anything else that you want to say, Randy?
No, I just wanted to call in and I just asked that question on, well, why the state wasn't, why they weren't doing, I thought they were supposed to do their part, and evidently I was wrong.
Well, apparently their part is protecting the credit union and making sure the credit union stays viable. So if that in fact is their part, then yeah, they're doing their part, Randy. They are doing their part.
You know, I think.
Okay, well, I'm out of here. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Randy. Take care.
Bye. Just in closing for you, Jim, I think this is kind of why we built People's Rights, is that when the government fails to act properly or protect the rights of the citizens or do what it was designed to do in the first place, People's Rights is designed so that people who may be injured or harmed can find each other, can unite to defend against a common cause. And this is really what the victims have to do, is absent the state participation, absent county participation, absent federal participation, is that they have to come together and they have to have weekly meetings and they have to have goals and try to advance and politicize their objectives. And that's, I've been saying it for a while now, that's the fastest way to win, is to actually take over the credit union from the inside out. And the victims have the power to control that outcome. It just requires their participation. And when we start getting the victim participation higher, more than 3 victims at one time actively working every week, then we'll accomplish that goal much faster. The less participation we have, the longer it'll take.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm going to be doing this Reed's Radio show, is just to be able to put the word out there, and hopefully over time we'll get people involved. Nick, we're just running out of time here. We've only got about 30 seconds left here on the broadcast. Peoplesrights.org, is that the best place to find out more about what you got going on, Nick? Peoplesrights.org, is that correct?
Yeah, or they can text rights, plural, to 80123. Rights to 80123.
Nick Ramlow, Montana chapter president of People's Rights. It's peoplesrights.org. Thanks so much for being here, Nick. We appreciate you being on the broadcast with us, my friend.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Take care. Okay, folks, there goes Nick Ramlow. Always glad to have Nick on the broadcast, and we'll have him, I'm sure, back again sometime here in the near future. Folks, that's it. So we're just out of time. Thanks so much for looking in here on the broadcast. I'm your host, James White. Until next time, this is James White for Northwest Liberty News, saying bye now.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits.